We come now to our fifth study in this series of New Life Today. And it may surprise you a little, and there may be some things that I will mention in this study that may even shock you. For I'm going to talk about what is commonly called the occult. There is in our time an explosion of dealing with the occult, and this is an area where Satan reigns. So, before we go any further, we will ask the protection of the Lord Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit upon us and upon this tape, and upon those who listen, as we delve into revealing some of Satan's wicked deceits. Father, we thank You for the power of the name of Jesus, for He has broken the power of Satan, and we claim Your protection as we make this tape, and upon those who listen to it, that Satan, You keep away from this, in the name of Jesus, and we just claim, Lord Jesus, that You will open our hearts and the understanding of our minds to see Satan's delusions and his subtlety, and by the power of Your Holy Spirit, set us free. And so we have to ask, what is the occult? And to that end, I would like you, let me read you a reference from Revelation chapter 22. Verse 12, Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those that do his commandment, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates into the city. That's the New Jerusalem. But outside are dogs and sorcerers, and sexually immoral, and murderers and idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. And that, to my mind, is the Bible definition of occult, loving and practicing a lie. It's something that is hidden and something that's deceiving, but yet it has the power to control. When you're under the control of the occult forces, which are the forces of Satan, you are not aware that they are controlling you. You are being deceived, and the essence of deception is that you don't realize you are being deceived. And so we need to uncover Satan's lies and these many, many manifestations of his deceiving spirit and his ability to deceive people. Now, you see the principle of it when you read Genesis chapter 3, the first manifestation of Satan's work. And we read, The serpent said to the woman, You will not surely die. God knows in the day you eat it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw the tree was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree desirable to make one wise, she took its fruit and ate. And there is Satan's attraction. It is something that's good for you. Make you wise, pleasant, has everything that would seem to be what you want, but he hides the hook in it. And in that particular attraction for Adam and Eve, the hook in it was death. And it's the same with the occult. Now, I think the best way to help you to understand this is for me to list some of the commoner occult practices, occult manifestations that are about today. Because if you are engaged in any of these things, or have been, then you need to be separated from them, and free from them, and free from any hold they have upon you. Because if you're not, Satan will have a pad in your life, and will hold you back from receiving all that Jesus wants you to receive. It will hinder your prayer life. Now, that's why I'm making this tape today, so that we can continue the process of getting rid of all the hindrances that Satan might have put in your life and causing trouble. Now, let me give you a list of some of the things that are occult. Horoscopes, Ouija boards, tarot cards, charms, spells, hypnosis, levitation, trying to lift people up with your fingers, astral travel, automatic writing, pornography, fortune-telling, And all divination, that's trying to tell the future. Palm reading, clairvoyance, witchcraft, mental telepathy, black and white magic, faith healing, water witching, astrology, any form of voodoo, reincarnation, pendulum swing, table tipping, handwriting analysis, secret societies, of which Freemasonry is perhaps the most common. I state here quite clearly that Freemasonry is occult. It is a counterfeit religion. And I have heard from a man who was deep into witchcraft that the actual ceremony for the initiation into Freemasonry is almost identical to that, to the initiation into witchcraft. Druidism, partaking in Halloween, spiritism, the martial arts, karate, yoga, the games, Dungeons and Dragons, and some of the manifestation of Star Wars. There are many religious cults that have their roots in the occult. Jehovah's Witness, Mormonism, Moonism, Transcendental Meditation, Judo, Hare Krishna, and many other societies which are common today. All of the Eastern religions, Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, and communism, they have their roots in that which is against Christ and which is designed to deceive. And yet, their front window is very attractive. There's always something very, very attractive about it. Scripture very soundly denounces all these occult practices. In Leviticus 19:31, we read, "Give no regard to mediums and familiar spirits. Don't seek after them to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God." Familiar spirits is another way of talking about the voices you hear in seances. They're not the voices of the people who have died. They are cheating, lying spirits pretending to be the people who have died. All mediums and seances are an abomination to God. Interesting to note that Margaret and Kate Fox, the founders of modern spiritism, both died of alcoholism, but not before they openly renounced their spiritualistic cult. In 1888, Margaret Fox said, "I am here tonight as one of the founders of spiritualism to denounce it as absolute falsehood, the most wicked blasphemy the world has ever known." Now, if you've been involved in anything like that, and the list isn't absolutely complete, when I come to pray a prayer later on to separate you and cleanse you from these things, make sure you enter into it and be completely free of any of these things. Now, if you want a list of scriptures that where God denounces everything to do with the occult, I'll just give you a few and then you can look them up at your own time. Leviticus 19:26 and 31, Deuteronomy 18:9-12. I'll read you that one. "There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire," that's giving your children to evil things, "or that uses divination, fortune-telling, or an observer of the times, soothsayer, or an enchanter, or a witch," that's a sorceress, "or a charmer," that's a hypnotist, "or a consulter with familiar spirits," that's a medium possessed with a spirit guide, "or a wizard," that's a clairvoyant or a psychic, "or a necromancer," that one who tries to consult the dead. "For all who do and use these things are an abomination to the Lord." Isaiah 8:19, Malachi 3:5, Acts 16:16-18, Acts 19:19, Galatians 5:16-21, Revelations 21:8, Revelations 22:14-15. These are some of the scriptures where just a handful of those where God warns us about Satan's activity in this area. Now, there are other occult areas that we need to be free of. One I'm going to mention now, for which I expect to be most unpopular, and that is rock music, and so-called Christian rock. Rock music has as its base, and this is based on analysis of 500 lyrics. It's based on sex. The main themes are sex, violence, Eastern religions, rebellion, and drugs. The music, the beat in rock music is almost identical to that in the devil dances and the pagan beat of pagan witchcraft and tribal dances. I've heard them both. I was familiar with listening to tribal dances and all the evil that goes on around them out in my journeys in East Africa. When I came home to this country and heard rock music for the first time, it seemed to me identical. We have a record by Led Zeppelin, a friend keeps in his garage, and when you come to that band, Stairways to Heaven, and you begin to play it backwards at roughly the same speed at which it went, should go forwards, you can hear these clear words, "I live with Satan, I walk with Satan," and you get this backtracking which uncovers the satanic nature of rock music. I'm not here to go into this in detail, but there is quite a lot written and exposed concerning the roots that rock music have in Satan's kingdom. And you can see the effect it has on people who listen to a lot of it. Their morals go, children lose, that get very much involved with their ability to study, and their standards get lower and lower. And very often people can be brought into a frenzy by listening to rock music and then rush out and do quite stupid things. We often find that when people come through to know the Lord Jesus and they want their lives straight and pure and holy with him, we have had to cast out of them a spirit of heavy metal and the spirit of rock music. So be very careful if you are involved in that sort of thing. Then there's another area that I'd like to mention, and that's an area that today seems to have come under quite a lot of observation, and it's this area of homosexuality. If you look at Leviticus 18:22, God says, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination." Homosexuality is an abomination to God, and it's not surprising that we are seeing the fruits of it in this dreadful disease, AIDS. Adultery and fornication are an abomination in the sight of God, and until we've cleansed from them in the blood of Jesus, if you've been involved in that sort of thing, the gates of heaven are barred to you. There's another area that I ought to mention, and this is one that's becoming increasingly commonly understood, and this is the area of curses. Now, I came across this quite unexpectedly some years ago when we found a person who was behaving in a very strange and odd way, and God revealed that he had been cursed, and we broke that curse in the name of Jesus, and it was amazing to see the change in behavior. Now, it is possible for Satan to curse people. It is possible for people to curse other people and to say things about them that Satan can get hold of and actually try to bring those things about. Now, the signs that a person's life is under a curse are not always easy to see, but there are certain ones that can be picked up. But usually it requires a measure of discernment on the part of the person who is seeking to minister to that person that discerns a curse. Usually you'll find that the people who are under a curse, their life or perhaps their family represent a series of mishaps continually going on. Always something going wrong in the family. There's repeated miscarriage. There's repeated sickness without any obvious cause. And Derek Prince mentions the fact that sometimes there's financial problems which shouldn't be. Enough money seems to be coming in, and yet there's not enough money to meet the bills. There's something going wrong with the finances. And sometimes you are aware of most unusual sicknesses being manifest in the family that don't seem to have a real cause. Sometimes people are constantly going sick, and there's no apparent reason to be found. When you get these sort of symptoms or signs, and the Holy Spirit gives you some sort of nudge in this direction, then it's advisable to go in and break that curse. And that sounds amazing, that you can break a curse over a person, but you can in the name of Jesus. And I've done it many times and seen surprising results. I'm not here to give you stories, because I just want to leave you with the simple truth. And what you do, you can say, in the name of Jesus, I break any curse that Satan has put upon this person, in the name of Jesus. Now, this is a very quick review of this whole subject. But what I want to do now is to pray for you if you feel that any of these areas concern you. Let me just add another area that's come to my mind that I forgot to list, and that is you can have objects in your house which become a pad for Satan's activity. You can have occult books, like Dennis Wheatley books. You can have an object like a little idol that's been used for spiritist worship or demon worship or occult worship, or has been made by someone occult and they've breathed curses upon it. You may think this is a bit way out, but I've actually gone into houses where there's been repeated sickness and problems, and God has pointed to me one such object, and we've thrown it out, and there has been a disappearance of those things. If you have in the house the paraphernalia of Freemasonry, that can be an area that Satan can use and bring constant problem and tension into the house. As I say, just give you one example. I remember a house that was very much upset by occult manifestations. The housewife used to notice the image of black birds on the kitchen window in the morning. And in a certain bedroom, if you slept there, there was a creepy thing came up and grabbed your neck, and the room was very, very cold. And a doctor's son heard about this and pooh-poohed it until he went and slept in the room and recorded that he suffered this. And we found the image of a corn dolly in the house, and we found that the house, that site had been used for pagan worship, centered around corn dollies for many, many years. And we cast it all out in the name of Jesus and broke this corn dolly, and that house has been free. So we can have pads or objects in our house that have satanic connections, and they can be cause of trouble. We need to know if we have such and get rid of them. You may think this is all being a bit pekinity and severe, but all these things I mentioned come out of experience when we've come against them and come across them in actual practice and seen people freed and brought into a new release of life and a freedom from their problems as we've taken a firm stand against them and revealed them to be what they are, manifestations of a hold of Satan upon a person or a family, manifestation of the occult. So let me read you an illustration of this sort of thing in the book of Acts. Acts 16, verse 16. Now it happened, as we went to prayer, that a certain slave girl, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us. That means she could tell fortunes and she could possibly tell the future, who brought her masters much profit by fortune-telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation." You might think that's an odd thing for someone with a demon, but these demons, they recognize Jesus, they recognize his presence. If you look at the Gospels, you'll find the first people that recognized who Jesus was were demons in Luke's Gospel. "We know who you are. Thou art the Son of the living God." And as she did this for many days, Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you, in the name of Jesus Christ, to come out of her." And he came out that very hour. And of course, as we know, that got Paul into a lot of trouble, because she could no longer get money by her fortune-telling. But you see an illustration there of that demon was actually present in her, speaking this out to Paul and Silas. But when Paul spoke in the name of Jesus, it came out and left her free, showing that these demonic forces are real things. That leads me to mention that what is behind all these occult forces? Why is it dangerous? And simply this, that when you engage in an occult activity of any sort, even though it be slight, you open your life to a spirit of Satan. Satan has many evil spirits that do his work. He was cast out of heaven with a third of the angels, and these are demonic spirits that can enter into your life and live there, and from their activity cause untold trouble. And they will only go as they are confronted with the power and the name of Jesus. I'll just give you one little story that when I first came across this, I was at a house party many years ago, and one of the girls in the house party suddenly went frantically ill, a red face and seemingly a high temperature and a pain in the ears, but I could find nothing medically wrong with her. And as I thought, well, what shall I do? The Spirit of God said to me, "Ask her, has she been playing with the Ouija board?" So I said to her, "Have you been playing with the Ouija board?" And she said, "Yes, we've been playing with it at school all last term." I said, "Did you realize when you were playing with that Ouija board that you let a spirit of Satan enter into your life?" She said, "No." But I said, "Well, that's what's happening. That's what's causing the trouble." She looked at me and she said, "Do you know, you're right." And she was terrified. And I said, "Now I'm going to cast that spirit out in the name of Jesus." And I did. And then she calmed down straight away. Her face became normal, lost its redness, and her ear became perfectly painless. And then she looked at me and she said, "Do you know what that spirit was saying to me all the time? It was telling me to kill myself." And I was terrified. And that all went. So the importance of this tape, and what I'm trying to say to you, uncomfortable though it may be to the ears of some, when you dapple even in a small way with these enemy territories, you let into your life an evil force from Satan, and this can cause you trouble and cause block in your Christian life. And don't say this isn't common. This is getting far more common. If you've been involved with any of these Eastern religions, with transcendental meditation, you will have one of the spirits of these things in your soul. Soulish, they're all soulish, and you will need to be set free from them. So now, let us pray for you to this end. If God has, even in this brief way, spoken to you about any encounter you've had with the occult, I want you to do this simple thing. I want you to confess it and say, "Heavenly Father, I confess my involvement with Ouija boards, tarot cards, with horoscopes, pornography, any of these things that I've listed or that God shows you. I confess my involvement with these things." And another thing I haven't mentioned, that is being involved with gypsies and receiving charms and gifts from gypsies. This has caused a lot of trouble over the years in my experience. And gypsies are very good at putting curses on people. Any of these things, you pray a prayer of renouncement. You mention the thing and you say, "In the name of Jesus, I renounce this, my involvement, and I will never get involved again." Now, if you're earnest, will you make that prayer? Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I renounce whatever it is you've been involved with, and I will not get involved with it again. And now I'm going to pray over you and set you free. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bring to you anybody that's listening to this tape who has any involvement with the occult and upon whom anybody has put a curse, and I claim the authority of the almighty power of Jesus, and I come against these occult forces and spirits involving any who are listening, and in the name of Jesus, I command them to leave you, to get out, and I cut you free from any curse that anybody has put upon you in the past, and anything that's come down from your hereditary that's of Satan. I cut you off in the name of Jesus, and I release you to go forward and be filled with the life and the love and the Spirit of Jesus. Father, I ask your Holy Spirit to come and take up all these areas that Satan has held and fill them with your precious Spirit. And so you finally pray, Holy Spirit, come and fill my life and take up all the areas that have been involved with Satan's activity and with the occult. Amen. Now in the next tape, we are going to completely change the subject and consider Jesus and how we can appreciate his wonder and his greatness and fill our lives more and more with his Spirit and his life. And this is beautiful and this is wonderful. May God bless you as he sets you free from all these things. Amen. If you want to do some reading as homework, may I suggest that you read Mark's Gospel, just read it right through, and that you read Revelation chapter 20 from verse 11 to the end of chapter 22. And may God bless you as you begin to meditate in his wonderful word. Amen. My wife has just listened to this tape and asked me to append a postscript to make a point clear. It's this point about faith healing that I mentioned in the early part of the tape as being a manifestation of the occult. She wants me to make it quite clear the difference between faith healing and divine healing. Faith healing is that practiced by so-called faith healers. Divine healing is that which is practiced in the name of Jesus. It's this occult form of faith healing by faith healers that we're referring to. We're not referring to divine healing. I hope that makes it quite clear. Thank you.